The reading from the New Testament this morning is from Hebrews chapter 8, the first six verses. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on the earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises.
When I was a little boy of about 4 or 5, my dad had a model train set, and it was the tracks were attached to a couple pieces of plywood, and it was down in our basement, and it could be lowered down from the wall, and I loved to play with that train set when I was about 4 or 5, whatever, with my older brothers. I couldn't do very well with it because, you know, the engine was pretty heavy and it had to be set just exactly right on the tracks or it wouldn't go around, so I'd have help either from my dad or my brothers. And I just loved that, watching it go around, and we'd turn off the lights and the headlight of the engine. And it was just really a source of joy for me. But then one day, my dad took us downtown, and we went down to the train station, and we waited for the train to come in. And I had to be very, very small because I remember looking up at my dad and how big he was, and yet this gigantic train came in. The model prepared me a little bit for the train when it came in, because the model we had was the same Super Chief, the train that was coming into Albuquerque. But yet, I was just awestruck by the difference, and the reality was so much different than the model. Well, sometimes when we read this passage in Hebrews, where the writer of the Hebrews is talking about how the earthly temple was a model or copy of the sanctuary, the holy temple in heaven itself, we sometimes think of it that maybe, you know, certainly the one in heaven is much, much greater than the one that was built here on earth by human hands. But when we stop and say, well, it was just a, when we hear these words that it was a copy and a shadow of the, we forget the significance and the importance of the initial tabernacle, which later then, of course, became the temple. And so I want to take us back a little bit to the same passage that's quoted here by the writer to Hebrews. Go back a little bit to Exodus. Now, sometimes when we read Exodus, when we start going through, we spend most of our time in the first half. That's where all the action happens. And then starting around verse chapter 25, as the furnishings and whatnot are going to be built for the tabernacle, I think, at least I know I do, I kind of skim through that part. Anybody else do the same thing? Seems like there's a lot of repetition, and what difference does it make the size of the table, right? Anybody else kind of feel that way? Well, we miss something when we skim through that. And I want to draw your attention a little bit. These details were very, very important. The Bible, anything that is important is written down in the Bible, when it's very important, it's sometimes said twice or even three times. And here are these instructions on how to build the tabernacle are given twice. And then we find out that Moses actually had everything built exactly in conformance with the way God commanded. The details are very important, and that's why they're repeated, even if in our laziness or in our hurry, we sometimes skim through those parts. So I'm going to take you through a little bit in chapter 25 and show you why some of the significance that we sometimes overlook. First of all, God calls Moses up onto the mountain at Mount Sinai. This is where the Ten Commandments are given, and also where these instructions are given, not just for the tabernacle, but the entire law was given. The law of Moses, it was followed for thousands of years. And the Lord calls him and he says, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering for a purpose. And look at verse 8. Gives all the different details of what the offering is supposed to be. But verse 8, have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. We need to focus on that for a little bit and let that kind of sink in. As we read through the rest of the Exodus story and into Numbers and all the way through, what we find is the instructions that God gave was after the tabernacle was built. That was where God came to meet with Moses. That was where his presence was visible and could be seen. He would guide them during the day with the shining cloud, and at night there would be the pillar of fire. And when it stopped, then they would stop and they'd set up camp. And what they would do is they would first set up the tabernacle. This was a tent. It was a tent where the Ark of the Covenant was, and God's presence would dwell right there. And then all of them would camp in a circle. Excuse me. All of them would camp in a circle around, so God would be in their very midst. And here God says, have them make a sanctuary, and I will dwell with them. Now we have, so the very presence of God was in their middle. And right there in the tabernacle, the holy place that was constructed with such meticulous detail. Now, let's fast forward to the New Testament. Let's think about the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus came, and in Matthew's gospel, starts off and is said, you will call, his name will be Emmanuel, right? The very beginning of Matthew, remember that? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And at the very end of Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Right? You all remember this? And then what does he say? And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. God, this is the resurrected Jesus. God himself says he will be with us constantly. Matthew starts off, Emmanuel, God with us. Ends, God with us forever. It starts here in the Exodus story. God in the midst of his people. That's the importance of this tabernacle. Now, with King Solomon, he built the temple, and it took over the function, the temple in Jerusalem, took over the function of this tabernacle. But notice something else in verse 9 here. God commands Moses, make this tabernacle and all of its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. And then, now we're going to skip this part. I know this is the part we skim, right? Starts off in verse 10. They have them make an ark of acacia wood. God gives detailed instructions first for the ark, for the table, for the lampstand, and for the tabernacle itself in chapter 26. He gives detailed instructions, but notice that he said here, make this tabernacle and all its furnishings not exactly in accordance with the instructions I'm going to give you, but with the pattern I will show you. And then at chapter 25, verse 40, he reminds Moses, see that you make them, all of these things, according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Now, why am I emphasizing this? What we have here is God gave Moses, he pulled back the curtain, if you will. He revealed heaven to Moses there on the mountain. Moses got a glimpse into the Holy of Holies in heaven itself. The throne room of God, the perfect sanctuary, Moses got to see it. And God said, make this earthly sanctuary, according to the instructions I'm giving you, and make it exactly like what I am showing you that is in heaven. So, it's more than just a model. It's more than just a copy. This is the place when they set up the tabernacle and they surround it and all the people camped around it. This is the place where God came and he dwelled in the midst of his people. It's more than just a copy or a shadow. It's where heaven and earth intersect. This is an important thing for us to grasp and understand it and really have it sink down. This is where heaven and earth intersect, where God meets with Moses, where his people see the Shekinah glory of God. And that is what the writer of Hebrews is bringing us back to. This is not just a mere model like the little train that I played with. Compared to the, this is the actual dwelling place in the Hebrew way of thinking. For people in the first century who were Jewish people, they believed that this was the actual place where you had an encounter with God. And so, the importance of this cannot be overstated. And so the writer of the Hebrews is talking to them and saying, but he's all through the last couple of chapters, we've seen that Jesus is far greater than Moses, far greater than Joshua, far greater than the Levitical priests, and he is the anchor that we hang on to in the very throne room of God, in the Holy of Holies, in the sanctuary in heaven itself. And plus, now, he is the priest who is worshiping and ministering before God on our behalf in the very holy, heavenly sanctuary. You see, Hebrews was written to encourage the Jewish believers, and we don't know what community it was, who were having difficulties and trials in their faith. And one of the concerns that the writer has here is that these people may be turning away from Christ and going back and worshiping just in the Jewish way. And that makes a lot of sense. The temple was still standing at that time. And the temple meant everything to the Jewish people. And so for the claims of Christ, that Christ has now superseded and is the better priest. He is in the Holy of Holies in heaven itself and mediating for us. It makes the temple in Jerusalem irrelevant. And that causes enormous problems for those who are ministering in Jerusalem and the people who are in charge, right? And there's persecution. And in fact, that's what partially led to the crucifixion of Christ himself. Was they viewed him as attacking the temple and the temple system. So the new Christians who were formerly Jewish believers, they are being pressured to go back to the worship of the temple. And so the writer to Hebrews is saying here, no, don't go back to that. That is a hindrance to you because this is a far better priest. We have a far better hope. This is the true sanctuary. He is our anchor in the throne room of God himself. And he is the one who is bringing about this better covenant that we're going to get into in the next weeks. He is the mediator. He is your priest. You don't need the local priests anymore in the temple. That system, it was good, it was temporary, but this is far better, and it is permanent. Going back to the old way of doing things will actually take you away from this better system. It was temporary. It's now been completed in Christ. And notice something else as he starts off. In verse 1, he says, we do have this high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and he serves in the sanctuary of the true tabernacle. Not only is he the true high priest in the sanctuary in heaven itself, but he sat down. He is the kingly authority at the right hand of the majesty, both king and priest. This is, again, this is reiterating what the writer to Hebrews has been telling us for weeks. He is the true king, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the ruler of this universe, and he is the true high priest. Don't turn your back and go back to the other way. That is a distraction. Now, I don't suppose that anybody here, as I look around, is tempted to go back and try and worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Anybody here feel that way? Well, one of the problems with doing that is the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, right? It's no longer there. Some people say, well, it's going to be rebuilt. I don't know that really the Bible talks about that. The Bible says that we have already the temple, the true representation, and Jesus is there ministering in it right now. The other temple that the Bible talks about is the temple of where Christ dwells today, and that's us in his church. I like the way that 1 Peter talks about it. He says that we are all individually the individual stones. Well, we don't build with stones very much anymore, so I'm going to change that to bricks. Is that okay? We're the individual bricks. And when we gather together, God makes us into this temple. We're all individual bricks, and we're now the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. It's in our community. When we come together, that God speaks to us and relates to us most. We're the individual pieces that coming together, God is there in our midst. That is the true temple here on earth, which is now the representation of how it is in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And the writer to the Hebrews says, don't go back to the old way of doing things. We're not tempted to go back to the old temple because it doesn't exist anymore. We also never learned that pattern in practice. But what are the things that separate you now from God? What are the practices and things that you go running back to that distract you from your worship of God? What are the things that keep you from recognizing the holiness and the mightiness and the majesty of Jesus, our Lord and Savior? I could give you my list. It'd be embarrassing, but I'm not going to do that. I don't know what your list is, but stop and think for yourself. What is it that keeps you and holds you back from truly recognizing and worshiping the majesty of Jesus Christ, our Lord? You see, the whole book of Hebrews, the reason we're studying it, the whole book of Hebrews is one large argument from beginning to end about the majesty and authority of Christ and how marvelous he is and how sufficient he is. There is nothing that we can do to say or exaggerate in any way the majesty of Christ because he far exceeds anything that we can possibly imagine. So what hinders your view of him as the majesty in heaven? My prayer for all of us is that we can set those things aside day by day and see Christ as he is, our wonderful Messiah, King of the universe, and High Priest who is ministering on our behalf. Nothing else should distract us from focusing and worshiping him. Amen.